Urvridhalobham visayeshu talasam. From apramatta sahasa pipadyase kshule lihano hir ivakumandakaha. My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with a desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity, but your Lordship is always alert, and in due course of time, you strike him, just as a snake seizes a mouse and easily swallows him. Support by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everyone is greedy, and everyone makes plans for material enjoyment. In his lust for material enjoyment, the living entity is described as a madman, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Everything is enacted by the laws of nature, and these laws are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The atheists or unintelligent men do not know this. They are busy making their own plans, and big nations are busy expanding their empires, and yet we know that in due course of time, many empires have come into existence and been destroyed. Many aristocratic families were created by people in their extreme madness, but we can see that in the due course of time, these families of empires have all been destroyed. But still, the foolish atheists do not accept the supreme authority of the Lord. Such foolish people unnecessarily concoct their own duties without referring to the supreme authority of the Lord. These so-called political leaders are busy making plans to advance the material prosperity of their nation. But factually, these political leaders only want an exalted position for themselves. Due to their greed for material position, they falsely present themselves as leaders before the people and collect their votes, although they are completely under the grip of the laws of material nature. These are some of the faults of modern civilization. Without taking to Krishna consciousness and accepting the authority of the Lord, the living entities become ultimately confused and frustrated in their plan-making attempts. Due to their unauthorized plans for economic development, the price of commodities is rising daily all over the world, so much so that it has become difficult for the poorer classes, and they are suffering the consequences. And due to the lack of Krishna consciousness, people are being fooled by so-called leaders and plan makers. Consequently, the sufferings of the people are increasing. According to the laws of nature, which are backed by the Lord, nothing can be permanent within this material world. Therefore, everyone should be allowed to take shelter of the Absolute in order to be saved. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva-loka-maheshwaram, suratam sarva-bhutanam, gyatvamam shanti-mrichchati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. If one wants peace of mind and tranquility in society, he must accept the fact that the real enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the proprietor of everything all over the universe, and he is the supreme friend of all living entities as well. By understanding this, people can become happy and peaceful individually and collectively. Someone is translating in back. My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with a desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity. But your lordship, always alert, in due course of time, you strike him just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. This very powerful sloka is spoken by the most powerful personality, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepts the role within the universe as the destroyer of everything. There are three guna avatars who act on behalf of the Lord within each of the innumerable universes that has emanated from the body of Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu exhales, countless universes come from the pores of his bodies. In each one, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, his own expansion, enters. And from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Brahma is born. Through the process of tapasya, Lord Brahma is given full information of what the purpose of the universe is. The purpose of the universe is simply to frustrate all the independent desires of the living entities who are trying to be happy without God. Unfortunately, because people have forgotten the purpose of the universe, they are trying to live their life to enjoy happiness and make wonderful arrangements for enjoyment within this material world. But the very purpose in which it was created is the opposite. It's created to frustrate you. But unless there's enough enjoyment, you will not be frustrated by your desire for enjoyment. So we have nice pleasure, we develop nice families, so many attachments, and then ultimately everything falls apart. It's a frustrating situation. It's a life of futility. What do we have to show for all of our existence at the time of death? Besides, we give our loved ones an inheritance of the same problems that we had to face, the same attachments that we had to take. Therefore, from the very beginning of creation, the Lord instructed Brahma that this place, material world, it is a place of death. It is a place, some enjoyment and ultimate suffering. But this is not the home of any living entity. The eternal home is the spiritual world. But we did not want to be in this spiritual world. We, instead of wanting to serve the Lord with love and devotion, we wanted to serve our own personal selfish interests. And that's why we come to this world, and that's how we remain in this world. As soon as we transform the desire to exploit into the desire to serve, then we are in the path back home, back to Godhead, to our original, natural, spiritual position. So with this understanding, Brahma began to create, according to the instructions of Lord Vishnu, the various aspects of material existence within creation. And in order to propagate various species of life, procreate various species of life, he started to create Prajapatis. Prajapatis were the sons of Brahma, such as Daksha and others. And their function was to marry and to have all sorts of offspring. Kashyapa Muni was a very great Prajapati. And factually, all the various species of life were originally created by these Prajapatis. And most of them were created directly from the various parts of Brahma's own body. Four such souls were the four Kumaras. They very much desired to remain Brahmacharis. Why? Because Brahma instructed all of them. What is the purpose of this world? What is the purpose of life? And now you have to procreate so that all living entities can come, get frustrated, and ultimately go back to Godhead. They just wanted to go back to Godhead. So they rejected the proposal of marriage. Although Brahma ordered them to get married. Prabhupada said this is one instruction a person can disobey. So they set the precedent. Brahma ordered them, you get married, you produce children. They said, no, we will be brahmacharis. We will join the ashram. So this history of parents becoming disturbed when children become brahmacharis goes way back to the beginning of creation. And it is still going on. It is no surprise. Even such a great exalted Vaishnava as Brahma, he became so disturbed. How can you disobey my order? But when a person wants to be brahmachari and he's fixed in that determination, there is no power in this universe that can stop them. You may think you can stop your children, but even Brahma could not stop his children. And compared to Brahma, you are very less, to say the least. So from the anger of Lord Brahma at the Kumaras, from between his eyes, in his forehead, Rudra took birth within this universe, Lord Shiva. Now we understand that Lord Shiva is not born as the son of Brahma. Ultimately, Lord Shiva is a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who resides in Mahesh Dham, as described in Brahma Samhita, and that Mahesh Dham is beyond material existence. And he is existing eternally there. But his pastime of how he enters into each particular universe is explained in this way. He entered this universe through Brahma's anger. So the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, who is the ultimate commander-in-chief of all existences, he assigned Brahma to be in charge of the mode of passion, or Rajaguna. He assigned Lord Shiva to be in charge of Tamaguna, the mode of ignorance. And as far as the mode of pure goodness is concerned, no one could do that except the Lord himself. So Vishnu himself, Chirodakshayi Vishnu, took charge of the mode of goodness, Sattvaguna. And passion is the energy which promotes creation. We know so many living entities are being created. And it's very much born out of the experience of passion, whether it is human beings, or fish, or birds, or insects. There is this passionate influence of sex desire, and from that there is union between male and female, and from that living forms are created. Of course, Krishna explains aham bija pratapita, which means that really no person is created. Natvaivaham jatunasam natvam mime janadipa nachayavana bhavishyama saravivayamataparam. That all living entities are eternally part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna has created. And when he has created and how he has created, that is inconceivable. Because factually, every living entity is eternally part of Krishna, eternally existing as a part of Krishna. But in this material world, the various bodies that temporarily entrap the living entity are created. If the living entity, due to sinful activities, has a karma to be born as a mosquito, then how does that take place? There's a passion between the male and female mosquito. They come together, and the result is a nice little embryo mosquito body you enter into in the mosquito mother, in her womb or whatever. And then ultimately you're born as a mosquito. You may be laughing, but you have all perhaps had such a birth. And if you don't chant Hare Krishna, you may have again. So in this way, passion promotes creation. So Brahma is the gunavatar of the mode of passion. And ignorance is the influence which destroys. When people are intoxicated, they like to just destroy things. When people, anger is an influence of ignorance. Lust is passion, anger is ignorance. When people are angry, they have a tendency to destroy. Sometimes they just, we have seen, sometimes you work so hard to get nice furniture and other paraphernalia in your house, and then somehow you get angry and you start breaking it all and throwing it. Complete insanity. When you're angry, you become insane. And you say terrible things and destroy your relationships with others by your words. Sometimes you beat each other and destroy each other's friendship. Sometimes marriages are just broken to pieces because of anger, ignorance. And sometimes even people kill each other in the mode of ignorance. Basically, what is war? What is the building of bombs? It is all promoted by tamaguna. The ignorance is, this is my land, this is my property, and I will protect. This is ignorance. Nothing is yours. Everything is Krishna's. And on the base of this ignorance, people build bombs and so many weapons, and they go out and kill each other by the millions and millions at a time. So destruction is the influence of tamaguna. And preservation is sattvaguna. It is not difficult to create something. And it's very easy to destroy something. But the most difficult thing is to preserve something. It's not a big problem to have a child, is it? Sometimes it happens, you don't even want it to happen. It's not a difficult thing. And it's not difficult to kill a child. But to raise a child from its infancy to its adulthood, very difficult. That's sattvaguna. To create the universe is no difficulty. To destroy the universe is no difficulty. But to preserve it, very difficult. So therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, personally takes the role of the gunavatar for sattva. And here we find a very beautiful, harmonious connection between Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva in this wonderful story. What happened is the descendants of Prithu Maharaj are being explained. Prithu Maharaj was a great incarnation, Shaktivesh avatar. And he had children who had other children. And ultimately there was a king born of the name Barhishat, or sometimes called Prachini Barhishat. And he was a very, very pious king. And he had the most beautiful wife. She was the daughter of the god of the ocean. In fact, she was so beautiful that when there was the marriage ceremony and they were performing the Agnihotra, fire yajna, during the wedding, Agni, the fire god, who was presiding over the fire yajna for the wedding, he fell in love with his wife. So you can imagine she was very nice. And they lived together very piously. He was the embodiment of piety. And he performed many great rituals, and in the role of the descendant of Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, he ruled the king according to very high religious principles. And they had 10 children. They were called the 10 Prachetas. And the father, being a saintly person, told his sons that you are meant to take over the kingdom after me. But in order to do so properly, you should be self-realized souls. A real leader of society should be a Rajarishi or Rajarshi. That means a saintly king. One who is a humble servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because actually there's only one king, and that is Krishna. And the so-called kings of this world are simply meant to administrate society in such a way on behalf of Krishna, not on behalf of themselves. Today we see so much anarchy, chaos, mistrust, materialism, sinful activities everywhere. And one of the great reasons is because the leaders of society have their own egoistic purposes to fulfill. They are not humble servants of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, really, according to God, they have no right to take this position. And it is said that whoever takes a high position as a leader of politicians has to accept 1/6 of all the sinful karma of the entire nation. that they rule over. But they also get 1/6 of all the pious activities. Now in Satya Yuga, it was very, very nice to be king because everyone was performing so many pious activities. But in Kali Yuga, who in the right frame of mind wants to take 1/6 of the accumulated karma of the whole nation? If one cow is slaughtered, the karma is you have to take birth for every hair on that cow's body and be slaughtered. You have to take birth as a cow and be slaughtered. How many hairs are in a cow's body? Millions and millions. For every abortion that is performed, hundreds of births, you have to be killed within the womb of your mother. And as far as cows or other animals that are slaughtered, that means anyone who killed, anyone who eats, anyone who sells, anyone who cooks, anyone who transports. So you can imagine how much incredible karma is shared by so many people for one. And there are millions being slaughtered. And abortions, how much karma? What to speak of illicit sex and intoxication? If anybody had the right frame of mind and understood that they were going to get 1/6 of the sinful karma of the nation during the elections, they would say, please vote for him. He's better than me. Instead of blaspheming each other, they would be glorifying each other. They would become like Vaishnavas, that I am only his humble servant. He has all good qualities, I have no good qualities. But now during elections, scandal here, scandal there, but I have done nothing wrong. I am clean, I am pure. This is due to ignorance. They do not know. And this is a great tragedy. People are making their own laws. And democracy, Prabhupada called democracy demon crazy. It's crazy. They're voting. They're not voting who will give them a proper life toward the real goal of existence. They're voting who will give me best sense gratification. And everyone's promising sense gratification, but no one can give. That is the problem. Whoever you elect, everyone is frustrated. In every country of the world, it is not only this or that country. No one is satisfied with their leaders. Because everyone has uncontrollable, unlimited desires for material enjoyment, and everyone wants what everyone else has, and due to this greed, there's no question of peace. Therefore, a real leader of society is meant to teach us how to overcome this greed and live in harmony with God's plan by learning to be happy, just taking what you need in life, living a pious existence, and chanting God's holy names. So King Prachinibharishad understood that the Prachetas, for them to be real rulers of the world, they had to be God conscious. They had to be true, realized, humble servants of the Lord. And according to Varnashram, whatever occupation you may be in, it is all useless if you are not God conscious. Shramevahi Kevalam. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, whatever occupation you have, whatever field of life, if by performing your work in this world, your duties in this world, you are not developing a higher taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord everything you do is a waste of time. Shamevihi kevalam. And we must understand that. This is not only meant as an instruction for king, it is meant as an instruction for fathers, for mothers, for students, for doctors, for businessmen, for engineers, whatever your occupation may be. If it is not done in the service of the Lord, if you are not increasing your desire to serve the Lord through your work, it's all a waste of time. It's simply you're simply a part of the massive problem of illusion and ignorance within this world. So these boys were sent by their fathers to perform tapasya for 10,000 years. This was Satyayuga. And they began to walk toward the west. And the idea was they were supposed to do tapasya to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. They came to a beautiful lake, which appeared to be as big as an ocean. And this lake was so peaceful. Just by seeing it, one developed natural peace of mind. The water was calm. Very clear and pure, beautiful lotus flowers, blue lotus flowers, red lotus flowers. And there were innumerable beautiful sounds of humming bees, of bumblebees, swirling around the lotus flowers. And you have all heard the sound of bees. It's very, very soothing to the ears and to the heart. And there was beautiful, beautiful music all around. And when the Prachetas saw this, they were very satisfied. And in a most wonderful way, out from this beautiful reservoir of water, came that great personality, Lord Shiva. He had a wonderful bluish complexion. And his matted hair, his beautiful, beautiful form was resplendent with such effulgence that he lit up the entire atmosphere. And the Prachetas bowed down in great humility and respect at the lotus feet of Shankar. And Lord Shiva began to congratulate them for being such pure-hearted devotees of Lord Krishna. And he explained to them that he was appearing before them specifically to give them a particular mantra and prayer to chant, by which doing they will have the personal darshan of Lord Krishna himself. And Lord Shiva was explaining how Lord Krishna is the ultimate supreme master of all masters, including the master of Lord Shiva, and how his ultimate satisfaction was to bring people to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And he explained that because you are such pure and humble and gentle devotees of Lord Vishnu, and because you are all cooperating so nicely together for the service of Lord Vishnu, he was going to help. In fact, all of the great gods and all of the great acharyas will be there to help those sincere devotees who are aspiring for pure devotional service. So what we are reading today is the wonderful prayers that Lord Shiva personally offers to Lord Vishnu as he is teaching them to the Prachetas. Lord Shiva explains that this particular prayer he heard from Lord Brahma And even Brihaspati teaches other gods these great prayers. And the particular prayer we're reading today is very beautiful. Lord Shiva is explaining, "My dear Lord," that is Krishna, "all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things. And they are always busy with a desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity. But your lordship is always alert. And in due course of time, you strike him, just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him." So Lord Shiva is comparing all of us to mice. From his calculation, Lord Shiva is a great self-realized soul, perfectly realized soul. We may think so much of ourselves. We may think, "Oh, just see what I have accomplished in my life." But when you look at if you go to Bombay, I don't know how Pune is, but Bombay, there are so many rats. Rats they are in the same family line as mice. They're just a little bigger in size. Anyways, you go to Bombay, you see so many rats crawling around. In fact, I read that there are more rats than people in Bombay. And how many people? Over 10 million people. There's more rats. And the rats, don't think that they don't have their pride. They have their false ego. They have their children, little rats, and they have the rat they love. They have their little abode. Sometimes it's in your abode. They have their nice little hole, which is their home, and they get their food. And according to their needs, they're quite satisfied. But as human beings, because we're a developed species, so-called, we look at the rats as just dirty, useless little creatures. Right? What are they doing here? They're just mating and eating and passing stool. But from Lord Shiva's point of view, that's all we're doing. We're really, the quality of our lives is no different than the rats. The rats will defend with their teeth and their claws if someone tries to take away. They're always hunting for food. They're having babies, they're like that, they're sleeping. So we have our nests. So Lord Shiva basically is saying that the whole human society is like mice. And what is this condition of mice? That they are making so many wonderful, wonderful arrangements in their life, but right in front of them is a snake. But they don't notice the snake. But the snake notices them. And they work so hard to make all their nice arrangements for pleasure, for security. But at the discretion of the snake, at any moment, he devours them. So Lord Shiva explains, "Krishna, you are like that snake. In the form of time, the Virat Rupa, which was manifested to Arjuna, revealed the power of God in the form of time, how he was devouring everyone. In his mouths, Arjuna saw so many living entities just being devoured, like the snake devours the mouse." So we are all in that predicament. Why? Because of uncontrollable greed. If we surrender to Krishna, If we surrender to Krishna with humility and devotion, then we will see Krishna as our most intimate loving friend. And even when the inevitable time of death comes to take away this particular body, we will see this as a blessing. We will see death as Krishna coming to take the soul away from this material world once and for all, to bring to the spiritual world, back to home, back to Godhead. But for those who are not devotees of the Lord surrendering to Krishna, to the degree we are not surrendered to Krishna, death is terrible. It is the end of everything, all of our dreams, all of our plans, all of our hopes, all of our relationships. And we work so hard, like foolish mice, to create more and more and more of these relationships, only to be devoured and lose it all. So when the materialistic people call their society a rat race, they are actually very accurate, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. They are racing like rats to see who can become a better rat, who can become a bigger rat. But they simply create so much disturbance, simply pass so much stool everywhere in the form of their polluting ideas, their polluting ways of life, their polluting philosophies. What does Philip speak of their technology, how it is polluting? So in order to overcome this unfortunate predicament, we must overcome greed. Greed means the insatiable desire for more and more and more enjoyment and facilities that provide for that enjoyment. And actually, it is impossible. When we are stricken by the mode of passion and ignorance, this greed becomes such an integral part of our consciousness. How to give it up? It can only be overcome by the mercy of the Lord. And that takes place to the degree that we utilize our lives and our resources for the service of the Lord. Devotional service can conquer greed. Devotees are greedy. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that the price of attaining Krishna is greed. And there's no other way. And yet, here we find that greed is such a terrible enemy, we must give up. So the Vaishnavacharyas explain there are two types of greed. There is greed which creates bondage and misery and culminates in death. And there is greed which creates liberation, happiness, and ultimate eternal life in the spiritual world. The same tendency that we have to be greedy, to accumulate more and more and more for ourselves, we should be greedy to serve Krishna, greedy to give Krishna, greedy to have Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained that there are yogis who, when you give them money, they say, no, no, I cannot touch money. It is contaminated. So they have, to some extent, overcome material greed. But there's no bliss, there's no ecstasy, there's no ras in simply overcoming material greed. Srila Prabhupada said, when you offer me money, I will take it. If you offer me $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion, $1 quadrillion, if you offer me the whole planet, the whole universe, the whole existence, I will take it. but not for myself, for Krishna. There is no limit to how much we want to give Krishna, because Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram. And we understand that everything is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. Let me be an instrument within this world to just bring more and more pleasure to Krishna, to give everything back to Krishna. That is our greed. Our greed is to serve. A devotee wants more and more and more service. When a devotee is asked, can you do this service? The devotee, yes, please, I want to do this service. And when a devotee has no service, he has no life. He's anxious for service, ambitious for service, longing for service, greedy for service. Rupa Goswami, he explained very nicely what is transcendental greed. That when the name of Krishna dances upon my tongue as I chant, I desire millions of tongues. That is greed. Because it's pleasing to Krishna when we chant his holy name. Therefore, we want millions of tongues to chant millions of names. And when then it's pleasing, Rupa Goswami explained, when that name enters my ears, I desire millions and trillions of ears to hear, to drink that sound vibration. We should be greedy to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it should be a matter of life and death. Just like in this material world, people are greedy to hear, to watch the television and see all kinds of materialistic phenomena. A devotee is anxious to hear the glories of the Lord, greedy to hear. Just like devotees are so greedy to work and make money, devotees should be thousands of times more greedy to give their time and energy for the pleasure of God. So we can overcome material greed only through developing spiritual greed. But to give up greed altogether is impossible, because it is the nature of the soul to be greedy for Krishna, to be greedy to serve, to surrender, and to please Krishna selflessly. And if we do not develop that, then we will remain like mice. Just greedy, just for enjoying the garbage laying on the street of this material world. We see what the rats and the mice eat. We think abominable. But the pure devotees, when they see the way we're enjoying, it's even more abominable. Why? Because at least the mice, they have no other means in that particular state of consciousness. But human beings are meant to be relishing the holy name of the Lord in pure devotional service, to be behaving, eating the rubbish of this world and enjoying the things like that. What we consider in our sophisticated society, someone may have Mercedes-Benz, or may have a big, beautiful, multi-crore apartment or house in Malabar Hill or something. They go, oh, this is nice enjoyment. But devotees, they see the Mercedes-Benz and the big and the beautiful wife and handsome husband and all your PhDs. It's the same rubbish that the rats and the mice are eating. It's no difference. Except it's worse. So sometimes people like to impress devotees with materialistic things, but we are not impressed. We are disgusted. Harivo!
Harivo!
The only thing that impresses a devotee is humility and devotion. If you have those qualities, we are proof. If you don't have those qualities, it is simply disgusting. We pity and sorrow people. Even the big, big kings and politicians and multimillionaires who have so much power and control, we just feel sorry for them. Wasting their life, eating the food of rats, eating the garbage of material existence. But whatever position, even if you are in that position, if you are driving your Mercedes-Benz in the service of Krishna with humility and devotion, then we bow down to you. If you're walking barefoot in a spirit of humility and devotion, we bow down to you. We are not concerned with the material packaging. We are concerned with the content of the consciousness within the package. Humility and devotion, and agreed to serve, not to exploit, but to serve. In this way, Lord Shiva is revealing from his transcendental point of view what is the condition of human society and how to get out of it. The Prachetas are going to be the kings of the world. They are planning for that purpose, preparing themselves, but not with greed, in a mood of service and devotion. And the Srimad Bhagavatam gives beautiful, beautiful records of great kings who were selfless servants of the Lord, and how they utilized all the skills, all the wealth, all the influence in their life for Krishna's service. So we should not think that there's anything great about getting big, big degrees or becoming very excellent in your particular field of life. The fools will glorify you. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they praise people who are better dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And the Bhagavatam gives beautiful description of the special characteristics, or special opulences of the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So we should not succumb to this materialistic conception. To think if I become a very, very excellent musician, or I become the best doctor, or the best businessman, or the best cook, whatever it may be, or the best engineer, or the best so many things. Best speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. if it is done without a mood of devotion and humility for the service of Krishna, it is all useless. It is all an illusion. It is all a disturbance. In fact, Bhagavatam says when you're drowning in the ocean of material existence, the more jewelry you're wearing to decorate your body, the faster you sink. So everyone's drowning in this ocean of material existence, and people are working so hard to get certain talents and certain degrees and certain skills and certain power and wealth, and it's just putting more and more and more jewelry on your body, which will then people will say, oh, just see how much jewelry, so nice, so wonderful, you are so good. The dogs, hogs, camels, and asses will praise you like anything. How do they praise? The dogs praise by going ruff, ruff, ruff. And the hogs praise by going and the camels and the asses, they also have their praise. Since I have all these characteristics, I can go on, but I don't want to reveal myself too much.
But anyways, we should understand that such people, we will get great praise from them. And sometimes our own family members will say, oh, this is so nice, now you have this and now you have that. Now lots of money and big degrees and so much power and influence. And they will praise you. And if you don't have those things, they will say you are useless. But we should understand what is the truth. If you have these things and you use them with humility and devotion in the service of the Lord with a pure heart, then they have great value. But without Krishna consciousness, it is all a waste of time. It is all a burden. Krishna consciousness is the center, focus, and purpose of life. And we must never lose vision of that. Nothing should come before our chanting of the holy name. By chanting the holy name of the Lord properly, according to the direction of the Lord's representatives, we can purify our heart and establish truth and spiritual substance within our life. If anything takes our time away so that we do not have the proper means to chant our 16 rounds attentively, we are mudhas. We are kripana. We are just miserly fools from a spiritual point of view. So no matter what, how busy, whatever, whether we are students, whether we are business, whether we are, we should always chant 16 rounds every day attentively. We should have time to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, to put our consciousness in a direction by which we are Krishna conscious. We should have time to associate with devotees regularly. If we do not, our whole life is off track. We are Maya and ignorance, that's all. The hogs, dogs, camels, and asses will praise you, but from the point of view of God, the acharyas, and the Vaishnavas, simply an unfortunate fool. And Lord Shiva, he is empowered to destroy everything. And in this and these beautiful songs that he's singing, Lord Shiva is telling us how to escape from the power of his destruction. Either you bow down before the Lord as the supreme, all-beautiful personality of Godhead, or ultimately you lay in prostrated obeisances in the form of death before the horrible form of God in the form of death. That is our choice. We have no third alternative. Either you surrender in love and bow down, or you surrender in fear. But ultimately, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is our beginning, our middle, our end. He is everything. And as our most loving friend, father, and lover, he comes to this world again and again and sends his own expansions, incarnations, and devotees to remind us. This world is no place for a gentleman. Come back home, back to Godhead. Chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Devotees' mood is not to criticize others. But devotees are supposed to be physicians for the society. And if a physician doesn't give a proper diagnosis or intervention, then you're cruel.
Give pleasure to him. So when this tendency comes to want to be respected, adored, to defeat others and at the expense of others, we should fight with our intelligence against these lower propensities of our false ego. But at the same time, we should do the best we possibly can. But the purpose of doing the best we possibly can is to offer more service to Krishna and encourage others to do more service of Krishna. But it should not be for ourselves. And if somehow or other you do become number one, you should understand that it is by Krishna's grace. He is the power of intelligence. He is the power of all my abilities. He is the doer. I am just his instrument. When a surgeon performs a successful operation, the various instruments on the table do not start thinking, I have done. They understand the surgeon has done. My quality was just to allow myself to let the surgeon do whatever he wanted to do, but he gets all the credit. So we are all just instruments in the hands of God. Without Krishna's power, you cannot distribute one book. You cannot speak one word of truth. Prabhupada was the greatest acharya that ever lived as far as spreading Krishna consciousness. No one ever had competed with what he had done as far as accomplishments. Spreading Sanatana Dharma in the purest sense all over the world. But before Prabhupada began his mission, he wrote that poem, I'm just your puppet, Krishna. You make me dance the way you want me to dance. When he had nothing, he considered himself a puppet. And when he had 100 temples all over the world, thousands of disciples, millions of books, he could still consider himself that same puppet, letting Krishna do great, wonderful things through him. So by good sadhana, good association, we can maintain, develop and maintain this consciousness that Krishna is the doer, I am his puppet. Any other questions? Yes?
Sharing of one-sixth of pious or sinful activities, are they also applicable to parents, teachers, who are leaders in their respective fields?
Yes. Specifically, the leaders of government. Specifically, one-sixth of the karma. As far as parents, no doubt you are influenced by the karma of your children. Especially if you misdirect them. If due to your misdirection they are engaging in sinful activities, their sins come upon you because you're at fault for neglecting to give them the proper guidance. However, if you're actually and genuinely trying to teach them the pure principles of devotional service, and somehow they go astray, then sarvadharman puritya jamamekam shananam braja. Because you're surrendering to Krishna, no sinful reactions can touch you. So it's best to surrender to Krishna. That answer your question? Any other questions? Yes.
Generally, without association of devotees, we may easily fall in Maya. The thing is, advanced devotees, although it's very difficult for them to fall in Maya, they're really very afraid of Maya, like, they're fearful of Maya. And we in a very neophyte state, we are hardly just coming to Krishna consciousness. We feel safe. We don't feel that fear of Maya, which, like Prabhupada said, if you don't, I'm very afraid if you don't feel fear of Maya. So we don't feel any fear of Maya, but the great service. How to be fearful?
The question is that advanced devotees, they feel greatly fearful of Maya, but we are neophyte devotees, we feel safe. And Prabhupada said that, one should fear Maya. So.
You just go on practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, and gradually you will make advancement and you will become afraid of Maya. No problem. Yes?
Instructions of the spiritual master and
Krishna is the supreme knower of all things. And Krishna has stated, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti swarajana. That one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities returns to my abode and never ever takes birth in this material world again. So we accept Krishna's conclusions as the absolute truth. Unless he wants to send you here to reclaim the fallen souls. But then you're not actually in the material world. Is there any other questions? Yes?
Any offspring produced, it's in the mode of passion. Any offspring, any species of life. So then how can we bring up, any person can bring up the child in Krishna consciousness, which is transcendent?
Krishna explains in Gita that sex life according to religious principles is none different than him. In fact, Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas explain that if one is a grihastha and has children, according to the regulative principles of grihastha, he's considered to be a brahmachari. So for those of you who would like to be brahmacharis but have a need for marriage, you can have both. If you only have sex for the purpose of procreating children, and you do it according to the Garbhadhan Samskara, you are considered to be a brahmachari. And your wife is Brahmachrini. Because that act is actually an act of devotion. It is a spiritual activity, which Krishna considers to be as good as himself. So if we raise children in this way, we should understand that this is a very, very wonderful and very elevated expression of our devotion to God. We see in the scriptures many great personalities wanted to bring Krishna conscious children in the world. And we celebrate them. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. Devaki Vasudev. Even Maharaj Prachini Barishat and his good wife. They wanted to bring Krishna conscious children into the world, or God himself into the world. So they are glorified. And even the greatest sannyasis worship them. Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his wife, Bhagavati Devi Dasi. They brought so many exalted Krishna conscious children into the world. They are our gurus. So we should know that although it is the energy of passion which creates that has to be there, but if grihasthas use that passionate energy according to the proper regulative principles, it is to be considered devotional service. Does that answer your question? Yes. Once you learn your lesson, you will not do it again. You are now learning your lesson. Any other questions? Yes?
Sir, as you told, the quality of service depends upon the quality of rounds we chant, quality of chanting. But it is also told that while chanting, normally the consciousness is whatever old activity you have performed, whatever service you are doing. So it seems that the quality of chanting also depends upon our quality of service. So, what is the lessons we do service?
The question is that it seems like the quality of chanting determines the quality of service, and also the quality of service is determined by the quality of chanting. So what is exactly the correlation between the two?
We require spiritual guidance from proper spiritual authorities. When we accept a spiritual master, he trains us how to make spiritual advancement. And both of these things are inseparably important. We chant the holy name, that is the Yuga Dharma. But in order to be in the proper consciousness to chant the holy name so that Krishna wants to appear, we have to chant with humility and a mood of service. In order to develop that, it is required that we serve. Without becoming the humble servant of the Vaishnavas, you cannot chant the holy name properly. And without regularly chanting attentively, you cannot be a proper servant of the Vaishnavas. I ask you a question. For the maintenance of your body, which is more important, eating or sleeping? Which one? Can you live without eating, even if you sleep all day? Can you live without sleeping, even if you eat all day? So for the maintenance of your body, eating and sleeping are both absolutely required. Similarly, for our spiritual life, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord are essential. And becoming a humble servant of the Lord and his devotees and rendering service is equally essential. You cannot make proper spiritual advancement or exist spiritually without either one. They are inseparable. Srila Prabhupada told us to chant Hare Krishna, but he taught us how to chant Hare Krishna. And he gave us full lives of service. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Maharaj, it is very easy to become the servant of somebody who is senior to us, but for those who are equal or who are just coming to Krishna consciousness and asking us some questions, how do we really become their servants? Not that artificially or as their feeders.
The Bhagavad explains how we become the servant of all living entities. For those who are senior, we worship them and we hear submissively and carry out their instructions. For those who are equal, Rupa Goswami explains the six loving exchanges. We hear from them, we reveal our mind to them, we offer prasad, we receive prasad, we offer gifts, we receive gifts. We inspire one another, encourage one another, and help each other on the spiritual path. We befriend a person in the mood of a servant. And for those who are in a lesser platform or newer to Krishna consciousness, we humbly serve them by being compassionate to them, by instructing them, by guiding them, by being an example for them. But it's always in the mood of a servant. A spiritual master like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati or Srila Prabhupada, how more advanced they were than anyone. But they never considered themselves masters, always servants. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, anyone who would approach him, even his own disciples, he would address them, Dasosmi, I am your servant. And he didn't say it artificially, he meant it. I am serving you by giving you Krishna Katha. I am serving you by guiding you painstakingly, like a mother serves her child, the spiritual path. And Srila Prabhupada, he explained to us that all of my disciples are the representatives of my Guru Maharaj that he has sent me. And it is my duty to serve them by engaging them in the service of my Guru Maharaj. So he was lifetimes more advanced than any of us. But he considered himself the servant even of the new bhakta. So what is our position, to think that we're better than someone else? We should have no relationship with anyone save and except that of a servant. But we must know how to serve. For atheistic people who have no interest in Krishna consciousness, we humbly serve them by avoiding them. To the innocent, we humbly serve them by instructing them. To those on the same level of us, we serve them by befriending. And to those advanced, we serve by hearing and carrying out their orders. But we are always the servant.
As we have heard from you many times, and we observed also that humility is a very grand, human-like quality. Those who are very humble, it appears that they have conquered all kinds of problems in their spiritual life. Like they are able to avoid all aparadhas and offenses. And when we lack humility, we may even deprive somebody of a good opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. Or because of lack of humility, we may cause somebody to go away from Krishna consciousness. So this kind of humility, is it a quality which is cultivated over a period of time and which can be achieved? Or is it an inherent quality of a devotee right from birth? Because it appears very difficult to cultivate this quality.
Humility is the eternal inherent quality of the soul. And according to our previous lifetimes of devotional service, we may have awakened that natural spiritual quality of humility in such a way that we are naturally more humble in this life. But whatever our situation is, as far as how we are victimized by the false ego, by aspiring to be the servant of the servant and rendering service, and by hearing Bhagavad philosophy, the glories of the Lord, and chanting his holy name, we can gradually purify our hearts. And as our hearts purify, then the natural quality of the soul, to be compassionate, to be humble, to be forgiving, are awakened within us. So it can be developed. The whole process of Krishna consciousness or devotional service is meant simply to develop these qualities of humility and love and devotion. If we do not have it, we must work very hard to achieve it. And while we're working hard, as an austerity, we have to try to practice it. Does this answer your question? Any more questions? Thank you very much for tolerating me for such a long time. And please keep me always as your obedient servant. That is my prayer. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Thank you very much.
Jai.